Hey, and welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Sunday, April 3rd, and we had five games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Philadelphia, the 76ers defeated the Hornets 144-114. In New York, the Cavaliers beat the Knicks 119-101. In Atlanta, the Hawks defeated the Nets 122-115. In Chicago, the Heat beat the Bulls 127-109. And finally, in San Francisco, the Warriors just edged past the Jazz 111-107. So we will break down all five of those games in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Philadelphia, where the 76ers handily defeated the Charlotte Hornets, 144-114. The 76ers were led by Joel Embiid. He had 29 points and 14 rebounds, and they also got a double-double from James Harden, 12 points and 13 assists, and 23 points from Tobias Harris. Whereas the Hornets were led by Miles Bridges, he had 20 points in the starting lineup. And then they also got double-digit scoring from the four other starters as well as Kelly Oubre off the bench, so it was a group effort for the Hornets, but unfortunately, it was not nearly enough to overcome the 76ers in this game, specifically the third quarter, where they were just completely dominated by Philadelphia. It was actually really close other than that. All three of the other quarters were within like 3 or 4 points, but the third was in Philadelphia's favor heavily. It was 45-27. And so just like that, the Hornets went from being down by 5 at halftime to being down by 23 at the end of the third quarter, heading into the fourth. So then it was just basically garbage time throughout the fourth quarter, and the 76ers cruised to an easy victory. And unsurprisingly, considering the scoreline, the 76ers shot the ball extremely efficiently, 60% from the field and 48% from three. And they also dominated on the glass, out-rebounding the Hornets 47-32. So all in all, a pretty emphatic victory for the 76ers, although that being said, they did have 19 turnovers, which is way too many, but the Hornets, for their part, had 17, so they're not exactly doing themselves any favors. But they didn't shoot the ball terribly. They were 48% from the field, 36% from three. In a normal game, that would be fine, but the 76ers were just absolutely on fire in this one, and consequently, they got the comfortable win in the end. And so with this victory, the 76ers now improved to 47-30, so that is good for fourth in the Eastern Conference at the moment. They are just half a game behind the Boston Celtics in third, though, and then they're 2.5 games off the Miami Heat in first. So it's looking less and less likely that the 76ers are going to be able to contend for that number one seed, but they could definitely swap back and forth with the Celtics going forward throughout the final couple of games of the season, and then they are 2 games up on the Raptors in fifth. So it's most likely that that top four will in fact remain Heat, Bucks, Celtics, 76ers in some order. And Philadelphia is plus 2.4 in the point differential, which is in fact worse than those top three teams. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. And as for the Hornets, this loss takes them to 40-38, so they are in ninth in the Eastern Conference, now one game below the Atlanta Hawks in eighth, and then they are tied exactly with the Brooklyn Nets in terms of the record. Both of those teams are 40-38, but the Hornets have the edge via the tiebreaker, so they are in ninth, the Nets are in tenth, and then both of those teams have mathematically secured themselves a playoff berth, so they will not be falling below tenth at the very least, the Hornets. They are exactly neutral in the point differential, 0.0, so that's actually slightly worse than the Nets below them, but they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Hornets were led, as I mentioned, by Miles Bridges. He had 20 points in 30 minutes in the starting lineup, and he was pretty efficient, 6 of 12 from the field, 7 of 10 from the free throw line. He had 1 3-pointer, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, but he was negative 25 in the plus-minus. The team low in that regard was LaMelo Ball, the sophomore. He had 13 points in 28 minutes, but he was negative 31 in the plus-minus. He was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 3 3-pointers, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals, but he also had 6 turnovers. Then they also got 14 points from PJ Washington in 26 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field. He had 2 3-pointers, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals. 11 points from Mason Plumlee. He was 5 of 6 from the field in 20 minutes. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists. And Terry Rozier rounding out the starting lineup. He was ice cold in this game, just 2 of 9 from the field. He had 10 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, and 5 steals, though. And off the bench for Charlotte, they got 11 points from Kelly Oubre. In 22 minutes, he was 4 of 8 from the field. They also got 8 points from Cody Martin in 24 minutes. He was 4 of 6 from the field, and he had 5 assists and 4 rebounds. Then they got 7 points from Jalen McDaniels in 7 minutes. They got 5 points from Gordon Hayward, his first game back in like almost 2 months. He hasn't played since February 7th, and he only played 17 minutes in this game. He was 2 of 6 from the field. He had 5 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. So good to see Hayward back in the lineup for the Hornets, and hopefully for their sake, he can get ramped up and back into game shape by the play-in game at the very least, because they're going to need his offensive production to have a chance in the play-in game, and especially in the playoffs if they do make it that far. All right, and then they also got 6 points from Montrezl Harrell, 4 points from Nick Richards, and 5 points from the backup point guard Isaiah Thomas. And as for the 76ers, they were led, as I mentioned, by the MVP candidate Joel Embiid. He had 29 points in 31 minutes. He was extremely efficient, 12 of 16 from the field, and he had 1 3-pointer, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, and he was plus 26 in the plus-minus. In fact, all 5 of the starters for the 76ers were very positive in the plus-minus, all at least plus 21. So they also got 19 points from Tyrese Maxey, the sophomore. He was 7 of 12 from the field, and he had 3 threes, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. Then they got 23 points from Tobias Harris. He was 8 of 13 from the field, 5 of 9 from 3, and he had 5 rebounds, 4 assists. 12 points for the other two starters. James Harden was just 4 of 10 from the field in 31 minutes. He had 12 points, but he did have 8 rebounds, 13 assists, and 1 steal. And then Matisse Thybulle, rounding out the starters, also had 12 points, and he had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals. And off the bench for the 76ers, they got 10 points from George Niang and Shake Milton. So Niang was very efficient, 4 of 5 from the field. He had 2 3-pointers, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. And then Milton was 3 of 6 from the field. He also had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. So really solid production from those two. As well as DeAndre Jordan, the veteran big man. He was perfect, 4 of 4 from the field in just 10 minutes. He had 8 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks. Surprisingly productive game for Jordan. And then they got 6 points from Danny Green in 16 minutes, 2 points for Paul Reed, 4 from Furkan Korkmaz, and Isaiah Joe chipped in 9 points in just 6 minutes. All right, next up we can move on to New York, where the Cavaliers defeated the Knicks, 119-101. The Cavs were led by Darius Garland. He had a double-double, 24 points and 13 assists. And then they also got a double-double from Moses Brown, the big man in the starting lineup in place of Jarrett Allen and Evan Mobley. And he had 16 points and 13 rebounds. And that's the second double-double in a row for him. So if he remains in the starting lineup throughout the rest of the season, which he very well might, he could be a valuable fantasy player down the stretch here in your fantasy playoffs. But anyways, the Cavs also got 19 points from Caris LeVert and 16 points from Isaac Okoro. Whereas the Knicks were led by Obi Toppin, the sophomore big man, inserted into the starting lineup in place of Julius Randle, who is probably going to miss the rest of the season. So Toppin will likely remain in the starting lineup throughout the rest of the year, and therefore will also be a valuable fantasy player throughout the rest of the season. But anyways, in this game, he had 20 points. He was 9 of 9 from the free throw line. And then they also got 19 points from Evan Fournier and 17 points off the bench from the other sophomore, Emmanuel Quickley. But unfortunately for the Knicks, they were just slowly but surely defeated by the Cavaliers in this game. It was pretty close throughout the first half, but then the third quarter is where they started to open up a bigger and bigger lead. They had outscored the Knicks 34-25 in the third, so they were leading by double digits throughout the fourth quarter. The lead waxed and waned just a little bit, but at one point, Kevin Love knocked down a 3-pointer with 4:46 left on the clock, and that gave the Cavaliers a 22-point lead. It was 118-96, so that was pretty much the nail in the coffin. The Cavaliers cruised to victory from there on out. Well, they actually only scored one more point, so the Knicks kind of chipped into that lead just a little bit, but nonetheless, it was a comfortable win in the end for Cleveland, and they shot the ball, unsurprisingly, very efficiently, 54% from the field, 44% from three. The Knicks shot the three quite efficiently. They were 43% from beyond the arc, but they were 40% from the field overall, so that's pretty disappointing. And they only had 11 turnovers, but the Cavs only had 12. So it was a pretty clean game by both teams, but that field goal percentage for the Knicks overall was just too poor, and that ultimately led to their demise in this game. And so with this victory, the Cavaliers now improved to 43-35. So that is good for 7th in the Eastern Conference. They're still 2 games back from the Chicago Bulls in 6th. So it's unlikely at this point that they're going to be able to rise out of the play-in game. They are 2 games up on the Atlanta Hawks in 8th. So most likely the Cavaliers will remain in 7th. Which, at the very least, is a good thing because they'll get 2 chances to win and they'll have home court advantage in both games. So the Cavaliers didn't want to be in the play-in game in the first place, but if you have to be in the play-in game, obviously you'd prefer to be in that 7th spot. They are plus 2.3 in the point differential, which is in fact better than the Bulls ahead of them, but they're just 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Knicks, this loss takes them to 34-44. So they're completely out of the playoffs at this point. They don't really have anything to play for. They're half a game behind the Washington Wizards in 11th. And then they are 9 games up on the Indiana Pacers in 13th. The Knicks are negative 0.7 in the point differential, which is actually better than the Wizards. But they're on a 2-game losing streak, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Cavaliers were once again led by Darius Garland. He has just had such a breakout season, definitely a most improved player of the year candidate. He had 24 points and 13 assists in 36 minutes. He was 8 of 19 from the field, 5 of 9 from beyond the arc, and he was plus 22 in the plus-minus, which was, in fact, the team high. So another incredible performance from Garland. And then they also got 19 points from his partner in the backcourt, Caris LeVert. In 36 minutes, LeVert was 8 of 16 from the field, and he had 3 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals. Then they also got double-digit scoring from the other 3 starters, including the big man, Moses Brown. He had the double-double, 16 points and 13 rebounds, and he was very efficient, 7 of 10 from the field. He had 1 block. He was just a massive person, so it is not surprising that he can rack up big rebounding numbers. He's kind of like Andre Drummond out there. He just sort of like hoovers up all these rebounds in the middle of the court, and he has put up big numbers, especially on a per-minute basis throughout his career, so I'm not shocked to see him pulling down double-doubles now that he's getting a starting opportunity in Cleveland, but I don't necessarily expect this to be a trend that bleeds into next season unless he happens to find himself on another team who is desperate for a big man, in which case he could definitely put up big numbers. It's just whether or not he finds that opportunity. Then the Cavaliers also got 16 points from Isaac Okoro, the sophomore, and he was extremely efficient, 7 of 8 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and Lauri Markkanen, rounding out the starting lineup, had 10 points and 9 rebounds. And off the bench for Cleveland, they got 15 points from the veteran big man Kevin Love. He had 15 points in 27 minutes, and he was 6 of 10 from the field. He had 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And then they also got 10 points from Chetty Osman in 19 minutes. He was 2 of 6 from beyond the arc. He had 3 rebounds and 3 assists. And they also got 7 points from Lamar Stevens and just 2 points for Brandon Goodwin, and that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Cavaliers. As for the Knicks, they were led, as I mentioned, by the sophomore big man Obi Toppin. In the starting lineup, he had 20 points in 31 minutes. He was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 1 three-pointer, but he was 9 of 9 from the free throw line. And he also had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. Then they got 19 points from Evan Fournier in 27 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field, and he had 3 threes, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 rebound. 12 points for RJ Barrett. He was ice cold in this game, 4 of 18 from the field. He was a big contributor to that terrible field goal percentage for the Knicks. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And then 11 points for Alec Burks. He was 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. And 7 points for Mitchell Robinson in 29 minutes. He was 2 of 2 from the field, and he had 2 rebounds, 3 blocks, and 1 steal. And off the bench for New York, they got 17 points from the sophomore guard, Emmanuel Quickley. In 30 minutes, he was 6 of 17 from the field, so not the most efficient game for Quickley either. He was 3 of 6 from 3, though, and he had 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals. And then 8 points for Taj Gibson, the veteran big man, 5 points for Ryan Arcidiacono, and 2 points for Jericho Sims. All right, next up we can move on to Atlanta, where the Hawks got a pivotal victory over the other team from New York, the Brooklyn Nets, 122-115. The Hawks were led by Trae Young, of course. He had 36 points and 10 assists. And then they also got 15 and 10 from DeAndre Hunter and 15 points off the bench from Danilo Gallinari. Whereas the Nets were led by Kevin Durant, he set a new personal career high with 55 points in 42 minutes. He was just on fire in this game. 19 of 28 from the field, 8 of 10 from 3, and 9 of 11 from the free throw line. So incredible scoring from Durant, but it was all for nothing because the Nets ultimately lost this game, and they were also led by Kyrie Irving, who had 31 points. But those were the only two players to score in double digits on the entire roster for the Nets. The other 3 starters combined for 17 points. Patty Mills was 0 of 7 from the field. And then the bench for the Nets, the 4 players off the bench scored a combined 12 points. So they were outscored by Danilo Gallinari off the bench for the Hawks single-handedly. So a really disappointing output from the rest of the guys for the Nets. Although, to be fair, they were missing several of their key guys. So Goran Dragic did not play due to the COVID health and safety protocols. Seth Curry was ruled out right before the game with a sore left ankle. And then Bruce Brown was also out with flu-like symptoms. So unfortunately for the Nets, they were were a bit shorthanded in this game, but still, for them to squander Kevin Durant's career-high 55 points and then 31 from Kyrie Irving is really disappointing, especially considering the stakes of this game. This not only puts the Hawks in 8th and the Nets in 10th, but this also officially eliminates the Nets from contention to rise up out of the play-in game because, like I said before, the Cavaliers are 2 games behind the Bulls in 6th, and then the Hawks are 2 games behind the Cavs, but both of those teams technically still have a chance to break into that top 6. It's unlikely, but there still is a chance. But now, the Nets are mathematically eliminated from the top 6, so they are guaranteed to be in the play-in game, which is not where you want to be for the Brooklyn Nets. They are not playing very well at the moment. They're on a 2-game losing streak now, and they're 5-5 in their last 10. Contrast that with the Hawks, who are playing very well recently. They're on a 5-game winning streak, and in fact, they're 10-3 in their last 13 games. So really incredible run of form here for Atlanta at just the right time, reminiscent of last season when they were streaking at just the right time, and it allowed them to get all the way to the conference finals. So we shall see how far it can take them this time. But nonetheless, this game was really close down the stretch. It required 9 consecutive points from Trae Young in the final minute to win this game. He hit a 30-foot bomb with 23 seconds to go that put the Hawks up by 8. It was 116-108 at that point. So a really clutch end to this game for Trae Young and the Hawks. They were actually leading throughout the majority of the second half. They had outscored the Nets 37-20 in the second quarter. So they had a double-digit lead throughout a lot of the third quarter. But then eventually the Nets fought back in the fourth. But the Hawks were just able to pull away in the end. And one of the things that really helped the Hawks in this game was the ball handling. They only ended up with 7 turnovers. That's really impressive, whereas the Nets had 13. And so that was found money for the Hawks because they were actually worse than the Nets from the field, slightly. They were 41% from the field, whereas the Nets were 42%. But the three-point line is where they had a significant disadvantage. They were 31% from beyond the arc, whereas the Nets 45% from three. So incredible three-point shooting for Brooklyn. But it ultimately wasn't enough to overcome the Hawks, specifically their clean ball handling and then also the free throws. They got to the line for 49 attempts. They went 37-49, 75%, whereas the Nets just got 19 attempts from the free throw line. They were 14-19, so that was another huge factor in the Hawks' favor. And so with this victory, Atlanta now improves to 8th in the Eastern Conference. They are at 41-37. So like I said, 1 game up on the Hornets and Nets in 9th and 10th, and 2 games behind the Cleveland Cavaliers in 7th. And Atlanta is plus 1.4 in the point differential. As I said, they're on a 5-game winning streak, and they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Brooklyn Nets, this loss takes them to 40-38, so down in 10th now. They do have the exact same record as the Hornets, but they have the Hornets have the tiebreaker, so they are in 9th, the Nets are in 10th, and they are on a 2-game losing streak. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and Brooklyn was led, of course, by Kevin Durant, a new career high for the prolific scorer, 55 points in 42 minutes. He was 19 of 28 from the field, 8 of 10 from 3, incredible, and 9 of 11 from the free throw line. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, did have 4 turnovers, but still, just incredible production from Durant, especially the three-point shooting going 8 of 10. It's just remarkable. And then they also got 31 points from Kyrie Irving. He was pretty incredible as well in 44 minutes, 12 of 32 from the field, 7 of 14 from 3. If you told me before the game that Durant and Irving would go a combined 15 of 24 from 3, I would think, yeah, the Nets are probably going to win that game. But ultimately, they did not, because we'll get to the other guys on the roster in just a second. But Irving, for his part, he did have 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 2 turnovers. He didn't get to the free throw line at all. That was disappointing for him. He was negative 6 in the plus-minus. Actually, the team high in that regard was Patty Mills. Despite going 0 of 7 from the field and not scoring at all, he was plus 7 in the plus minus. So I think that's fair to say that's a bit of an anomaly there. He didn't do a whole lot else in the box score either. And then they got 9 points from Kessler Edwards, the rookie. In 19 minutes, he was 3 of 6 from the field, and he had 3 rebounds. And 8 points for Andre Drummond, rounding out the starting lineup. He had 13 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 1 block. And off the bench for the Nets, like I said, they just combined for 12 points. Cam Thomas, the rookie, had 5 points, but he was ice cold, 1 of 7 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 2 assists. 4 points for Nick Claxton, the backup big man. He had 7 rebounds. And 3 for James Johnson. Blake Griffin saw the court for just 6 minutes, but he did not score. And as for the Hawks, they were, of course, led by Trae Young. 36 points in 35 minutes. He was 10 of 24 from the field, 4 of 9 from beyond the arc, and 12 of 14 from the free throw line. And then he also had 6 rebounds and 10 assists as well, so another incredible performance offensively from Trae Young. Then they also got 15 points and 10 rebounds from DeAndre Hunter. He was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 2 assists. 9 points and 12 rebounds from Clint Capella. He was 4 of 6 from the field in 30 minutes, and he had 2 steals. Then they also got 11 points from Timothy Luau-Cabarro against his former team. He was 3 of 8 from the field in 22 minutes. And Kevin Huerter rounding out the starting lineup. He was not very efficient in this game. 5 points on 2 of 10 shooting, 1 of 7 from 3. He had 4 rebounds. And off the bench for the Hawks, they got 15 points from Danilo Gallinari. In 25 minutes, he was 5 of 9 from the field, and he had 2 threes, 5 rebounds. Then they also got 9 points from DeLon Wright, the backup point guard. He was 3 of 6 from beyond the arc. 8 points for Bogdan Bogdanovic, although going 0 of 6 from 3, he was 3 of 9 from the field, and plus 15 in the plus-minus, which was actually the team high. So, weirdly, both teams being led in the plus-minus by players who really underwhelmed in terms of the shooting. Bogdanovic for the Hawks going 0 of 6 from 3, and Mills for the Nets going 0 of 5 from 3. But anyways, they also got 8 points from Lou Williams in 13 minutes, but he was also ice cold, 1 of 5 from the field, and 6 points from the backup big man Onyeka Okongwu. He had 6 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks in just 18 minutes. All right, next up, we can move on to Chicago, where the Bulls were handily defeated by the Miami Heat, 127-109, another loss to one of the elite teams for the Chicago Bulls. They were led in this game by Zach LaVine. He had 33 points, and then they also got 26 from DeMar DeRozan and 12 and 10 from Nikola Vucevic. Whereas the Heat were led by Jimmy Butler, he had 22 points on 7 of 12 shooting, and then they also got double-digit scoring from 3 other starters and 3 guys off the bench. Tyler Hero had 19, Kyle Lowry had 19 and 10 in the starting lineup, and Bam Adebayo had 16 points also in the starting lineup. And this was just a slow and steady domination by the Miami Heat. They were just increasing their lead throughout the majority of this game. It was really close at the end of the first quarter, just a 1-point game, but then they started to open up a lead in the second quarter, outscoring the Bulls 35-27, and then they kept up the pressure in the third. In fact, that's where they really blew the doors off this one. They outscored the Bulls 32-22 in that third quarter. So it was a significant lead heading into the fourth. It was a nearly a 20-point lead, and then they basically just cruised to victory in the final period. The Heat did. And it was very efficient shooting for Miami, unsurprisingly, that allowed them to dominate this game. They were 53% from the field, 50% from beyond the arc, whereas the Bulls, just 43% from the field, 26% from three. That is pretty terrible. Now, to be fair, they were extremely tidy with the ball handling, just 6 turnovers for Chicago, but the Heat were also very clean with the ball, only 9 turnovers for them. So just combined 15 turnovers between the two teams is a very clean game, but that shooting for the Heat was just too good. And ultimately, they were able to dominate this game. And so with this victory, they now improved to 50-28. So that is good for first in the Eastern Conference. They are 1.5 games up on the Milwaukee Bucks in second, 2 games up on the Celtics in third. And the Heat are plus 4.3 in the point differential. They're on a 3-game winning streak, and they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. So hopefully for their sake, they have turned things around since that little blip where they were on like a 5-game losing streak and they had that little blow up on the sidelines. But as for the Bulls, this loss takes them to 45-33. So they're down in 6th now in the Eastern Conference, half a game behind the Toronto Raptors in 5th. And then, like I said, they're 2 games up on the Cleveland Cavaliers in 7th. And the Bulls are plus 0.3 in the point differential. That's actually like 9th best in the conference. And they're only 4-6 in their last 10 games. So unfortunately for the Bulls, it seems like their season is crumbling at the worst possible time. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Heat were led, as I mentioned, by Jimmy Butler. He had 22 points in the starting lineup in 35 minutes. He was 7 of 12 from the field, 2 of 3 from beyond the arc. That's a good sign for him. And he had 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal. He was plus 17 in the plus-minus. That was the team high. So really good stuff for Jimmy Butler once again. Then they got 19 points and 10 assists from Kyle Lowry in 27 minutes. He was 6 of 11 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, and he was 5 of 5 from the free throw line. And then they also got 16 points from Bam Adebayo. He was very efficient, 7 of 9 from the field, and he had 7 rebounds, 3 assists. 10 points for Max Strus, still in the starting lineup in place of Duncan Robinson. He was 4 of 8 from the field, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc. And then 4 points for PJ Tucker, rounding out the starting lineup. He only took 1 field goal. He was 1 of 1 from the field, and he had 8 rebounds and 2 assists. Off the bench for the Heat, they got double-digit scoring from 3 players. Dwayne Dedmon, the backup big man, had 14 points, 5 rebounds in 19 minutes. He was 6 of 9 from the field. Tyler Hero had 19 points, but he was much less efficient, 6 of 16 from the field, although interestingly, all of his makes came from beyond the arc. He was 6 of 16 overall, but 6 of 7 from the three-point line. And then he also had 8 rebounds and 2 assists. And then they got 13 points from Gabe Vincent. He was also very efficient, like Dedmon. He was 4 of 6 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3, and he had 3 assists. And then they got 8 points from Duncan Robinson. He was 2 of 7 from 3. He was actually plus 16 in the plus-minus, which was the high for the bench. And then 2 points from Omer Yurtseven in 3 minutes, and that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for Miami. As for the Bulls, they were led, as I mentioned, by Zach LaVine. He had 33 points in 35 minutes. He was 11 of 21 from the field, 5 of 12 from beyond the arc, and 6 of 6 from the free throw line. So really efficient scoring for LaVine, especially from 3 and from the free throw line. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. And then DeRozan was, he had 26 points on 6 of 18 shooting, so much less efficient, but he was 13 of 13 from the free throw line. So those two, DeRozan and LaVine, going a combined 19 of 19 from the free throw line is fantastic, but overall, that field goal percentage from DeRozan, 6 of 18, not good enough. He had 1 rebound, 2 assists, and 1 steal. And then they also got a double-double from Nikola Vucevic, 12 points, 10 rebounds. He had 5 assists. He was 6 of 11 from the field. 11 points for the rookie, Ayo Dosunmu. He was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists. And Alex Caruso, rounding out the starting lineup, did not score at all. He was 0 of 2 from the field in 22 minutes. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists. And off the bench for Chicago, they got 12 points from Patrick Williams. He looked really good in this game, the sophomore. In 30 minutes, he was 4 of 6 from the field. He had 1 3-pointer, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. It'll be interesting to see whether or not Billy Donovan reinserts Patrick Williams into the starting lineup. And then they also got 8 points from Javonte Green in 13 minutes. They got 3 points from Derek Jones Jr. in just 3 minutes, 2 points from Tristan Thompson, and 2 points as well from Kobe White. He was brutal in this game. He was 0 of 9 from the field. He just had 2 free throws. All right, and finally we can move on to San Francisco, where the Warriors got a rousing come-from-behind victory versus the Utah Jazz, 111-107. This was an incredible finish. The Warriors hit 6 consecutive 3-pointers to stun the Jazz. It all came in the fourth quarter when they went on an 18-0 run. They were trailing throughout the majority of regulation. They were down by as much as 21 points at one point in the second quarter, and the Jazz held on to a significant lead throughout the entire third and then much of the fourth as well. But then about halfway through the fourth quarter, their offense just completely stagnated. Rudy Gobert's dunk with 7:54 left was the only points they would score for like 6 minutes straight. They didn't score until Bojan Bogdanović finally hit a free throw with 2 minutes left on the clock. But at that point, the Warriors had already taken the lead. And so a really stunning come-from-behind victory for the Warriors. And they were led in this game by Klay Thompson. He had 36 points. There's obviously still no Steph Curry for the Warriors, but Thompson led the way. He had 8 three-pointers. He was 8 of 17 from 3, 14 of 28 from the field overall. And then they also got 31 points from Jordan Poole. He had 6 three-pointers. And then they got 17 points from Andrew Wiggins. Whereas the Jazz were led by their backcourt, Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell, both of whom had 26 points. They had 9 three-pointers combined. And then they got a big double-double from Rudy Gobert, 14 points and 20 rebounds, and 17 points from Bojan Bogdanović. And they look better with Bogdanović back in the lineup, but there's still just something missing with this Jazz team. I don't know if it was all thanks to Joe Ingles or what, but they just look so much worse now than they did throughout the last couple of seasons. And this really disappointing loss was just a microcosm of that. They were only 42% from the field in this game, 32% from three. They were a lot better until the fourth quarter when they were just bricking shot after shot, whereas the Warriors were 47% from the field and 41% from three, and they only had 11 turnovers. So just a really exciting and encouraging victory for the Steph Curry-less Golden State Warriors, and they now improve to 49-29 with this win. So they are back in third in the Western Conference after briefly being supplanted by the Mavericks. They have retaken that third seed. The Warriors are 6 games behind the Grizzlies in second and 1 game up on the Mavericks in fourth. Their plus 5.0 point differential is fourth best in the conference, and they're just 3-7 in their last 10 games. And as for the Jazz, this loss takes them to 46-32. So they're down in fifth, 2 games behind the Mavericks in fourth, and then just ahead of the Denver Nuggets via the tiebreaker. Those two teams are tied at 46-32. The Jazz are plus 5.5 in the point differential, though, which is in fact third best in the West, but they're 4-6 in their last 10 games. So like the Chicago Bulls in the Eastern Conference, the Jazz are really crumbling at the worst possible time in the season. And so anyways, we can move on to the box score. And the Jazz were led, as I mentioned, by the backcourt of Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell, both of whom had 26 points. So Conley was plus 13 in the plus minus, which was significantly better than most of the other starters. A lot of those guys like Mitchell, O'Neal, and Bogdanovich were at least negative 20 in the plus minus. So Conley's plus 13 is actually really impressive. He was 10 of 18 from the field, 5 of 11 from 3, and he had 5 rebounds, 8 assists, and 1 steal. And Donovan Mitchell had 26 points as well on 8 of 19 shooting, so a little bit less efficient. He was 4 of 10 from 3. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. And then they got that big double-double from Rudy Gobert, 14 points, 20 rebounds in 38 minutes. He was 5 of 9 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3. He had 1 assist, 2 steals. Then they also got 17 points from Bojan Bogdanovic. He was 6 of 15 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. And Royce O'Neal, rounding out the starting lineup, was negative 25 in the plus-minus, which was the team low. He didn't score at all. He was 0 of 5 from the field. And he had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 4 turnovers. So pretty much the worst game you could possibly envision for Royce O'Neal. And off the bench for the Jazz, they got 14 points from Jordan Clarkson in 28 minutes. He was 5 of 13 from the field. He had 2 threes. 5 points for Juancho Hernan Gomez in 17 minutes. He was actually plus 20 in the plus minus. He was 2 of 3 from the field. 3 points for Daniel House, although he was 1 of 5 from the field. 2 points for Hassan Whiteside, the backup big man. And as for the Warriors, they were led, as I mentioned, by Klay Thompson. He had 36 points in 39 minutes, an incredible performance. He was one of the ones knocking down three-pointers there in the fourth quarter. He was 14 of 28 from the field, 8 of 17 from beyond the arc, and he had 5 rebounds, 2 assists. He was plus 2 in the plus-minus. Jordan Poole was actually plus 16 in his 38 minutes, and he had 31 points. He was 9 of 22 from the field, 6 of 15 from 3, and he was 7 of 7 from the free throw line. So really fantastic shooting from the free throw line and the three-point line for Poole, and he had 6 rebounds and 6 assists as well. And then they got 17 points from Andrew Wiggins. He was very efficient, 7 of 10 from the field, and he had 3 threes, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals. 10 points for Draymond Green. He had 9 rebounds, 7 assists. And Kevon Looney, rounding out the starting lineup, had 2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Off the bench for the Warriors, they got 10 points from Gary Payton II in 22 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from the field. They got 2 points from Otto Porter Jr. He was only 1 of 4 from the field, but he had 8 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. And then they got 3 points from Nemanja Bjelica in 14 minutes. And then Jonathan Kuminga and Andre Iguodala both saw the court briefly, but neither of them scored. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And obviously, there is one player that stood head and shoulders above the rest last night. It was Kevin Durant, one of the most prolific scorers in NBA history, setting a new personal career high in scoring. But before we get to him, let's just run through some of the other options. So Joel Embiid had 29 and 14 with 6 assists. Trae Young had 36 and 10. Mike Conley had 26 points on a pretty efficient 10 of 18 shooting. You had a huge double-double from Rudy Gobert, 14 and 20. And then James Harden had 12, 8, and 13. And then 22, 7, and 6 for Jimmy Butler. But yeah, it had to be Kevin Durant with 55 points on 19 of 28 shooting. He was 9 of 11 from the free throw line and 8 of 10 from 3. Incredible scoring for Durant. And he also had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. He didn't have any blocks and he had 4 turnovers. So that's not that impressive. He didn't really stuff the stat sheet necessarily, but nobody really did, and so his incredible scoring was clearly enough to elevate him to standout line of the night, especially those 8 three-pointers. So Kevin Durant, standout line of the night, and as for surprising line of the night, we're definitely going to go with Moses Brown with his second double-double in a row for the Cleveland Cavaliers starting at center. He had 16 points and 13 rebounds in this game. He only had 1 block, and that was it in terms of the box score, but he was very efficient, 7 of 10 from the field, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, so really good stuff for Moses Brown once again. And like I said before, if he is going to remain in the starting lineup throughout the rest of the season, which he very well might, as Jarrett Allen and Evan Mobley especially Jarrett Allen, probably not coming back throughout the rest of the season, then he is definitely an add in the final stretch of the fantasy playoffs here. All right, so Moses Brown, your surprising line of the night. Kevin Durant is your standout line of the night. And with that, we can move on now to our preview for today, Sunday, April the 3rd. And we've got a whole bunch of games on in the NBA once again. So starting off in Milwaukee, the Bucks are taking on the Dallas Mavericks, and the Bucks are -5.5. In Boston, the Celtics face the Washington Wizards, and the Celtics are -13.5. In LA, the Lakers are taking on the Denver Nuggets, and the Nuggets are -3. In Indiana, the Pacers take on the Detroit Pistons, and the Pacers are -2.5. In Cleveland, the Cavaliers are facing the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Sixers are -4.5. In Orlando, the Magic take on the New York Knicks, and the Knicks are -4.5. In San Antonio, the Spurs face the Portland Trailblazers, and the Spurs are big favorites, -14. In Oklahoma City, the Thunder are taking on the Phoenix Suns, and once again, we have a huge favorite. The Suns are -14.5. In Houston, the Rockets take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Wolves are -13.5. In Toronto, the Raptors are taking on the Miami Heat, and the Raptors are -3.5. In Sacramento, the Kings face off against the Golden State Warriors, and the Warriors are -5.5. And finally, in Los Angeles, again, the Clippers are taking on the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Clips are -2.5. All right, so some intriguing lines and some intriguing matchups across the NBA tonight. Some huge favorites. You got the Suns, 14.5-point favorites in Oklahoma City, unsurprisingly. You got the Spurs, 14-point favorites versus the Trailblazers. They dominated the Trailblazers just a couple of days ago, so that's not that surprising, especially considering that they are gunning for the play-in game desperately, whereas the Trailblazers are obviously heavily in the tank. And then the Timberwolves, huge favorites versus the Houston Rockets. All of those seem about right to me. I think none of those are going to be a best bet because those lines are so big, but I'm definitely tempted by the Suns -14.5 in Oklahoma City just because of the huge disparity in talent between those two teams. But those are all going to be stayaways. I was also tempted by the Denver Nuggets -3 in Los Angeles against the Lakers. The Nuggets are just frankly playing a lot better than LA at this point in the season, despite the fact that they should have LeBron and Anthony Davis available. I am skeptical, to say the least, that they will in fact be able to go 5-0 throughout the rest of the season like Anthony Davis predicted. Ultimately, we've got two best bets for today. We're going to go with the Cleveland Cavaliers +4.5 at home versus the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, I don't know if the Cavaliers are necessarily going to win this game. They might not. The 76ers could definitely win, and they could actually dominate because Joel Embiid is going to be able to feast down low against whoever the Cavaliers throw out there at center, probably Moses Brown like we've touched on already. But with that being said, the Cavaliers are a very scrappy team. They are only a couple of spots below the 76ers in the conference standings, down there in 7th. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games, whereas the 76ers are 6-4 in their last 10, and they've got very similar point differentials. Philadelphia is +2.4, Cleveland is +2.3, and both of these teams are on the second night of a back-to-back, so it's pretty close, all things considered, and so I'm just going to take the team that has home court advantage and has a pretty significant edge in the line. So we're going to go Cleveland Cavaliers +4.5 at home versus the 76ers. And then we're also going to take the Sacramento Kings +5.5 versus the Golden State Warriors. Now, do I feel good about betting on the Kings? Absolutely not. I have never wanted to bet on the Kings this entire season long. In fact, probably for the last like 15 seasons, I have not wanted to bet on the Sacramento Kings. But they have actually been playing pretty well recently. They're on a 2-game winning streak, and they're 5-5 in their last 10. And they're only 2.5 games back from the LA Lakers in 11th. And so I think that will be a little bit of an incentive for them. These teams, these NBA players, are very competitive, and they know that if they're not mathematically eliminated from the play-in game just yet, they're going to be trying to make it, and they have not been tanking recently. So the Kings, I think, will be going for this win, and it's the second night of a back-to-back for the Warriors. They're still missing Steph Curry. It was a really encouraging win last night, but I just don't think they're going to dominate this game. They could very easily win it, to be sure, but I just think that the Kings will at the very least be able to keep it close on the Warriors there in Sacramento. So for better or worse, hopefully they don't make me regret it. We're going to take the Kings +5.5 in Sacramento versus the Warriors. And then we're also going to take the Cleveland Cavaliers, +4.5 at home versus the Philadelphia 76ers. And that will do it for us today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all of those games and to preview the action for Monday, April the 4th. So until then, thanks for tuning in.